May it please the court.
You may proceed.
There are two issues in this case. One is the issue of whether this case is moot. Before we talk about that, though, I'd like to talk about the most critical issue in this case, and that is whether expert testimony is required when a nurse willfully ignores established hospital patient care protocol and repeatedly suspends cardiac alarms in a neonatal intensive care unit for an at-risk infant.
Counsel, what relief did the board seek in the AHC?
What relief? They sought to have her license disciplined and that there would be cause to discipline her license.
Okay, and ultimately to have it revoked.
Well, they don't actually decide on what the appropriate sanction would be until after the Administrative Hearing Commission issues its decision, and then there's a disciplinary hearing in front of the board.
And but before the board?
Before the board, correct.
Well, here there was cause to discipline found, and the board did discipline, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And did revoke?
Yes.
And so you're now exactly where you were then. Her license she surrendered it. So the board is in the exact same position it was when they revoked her license, aren't they?
Well, not exactly, Your Honor, because at this point there are no findings, at least on the record. Well, this case is still pending in terms of finding cause to discipline. And so if any licensee, even if it's a lawyer, could just surrender his or her license and not be disciplined, then that lawyer could move to another state or could reapply at a later date, and there wouldn't be anything on the record that would establish
that
there was cause to
discipline. Well, if you surrender your license, if you surrender your law license, you're disbarred.
But the court can still take action.
Well, the court can refuse to surrender and litigate whether and what violations you did, because that may be relevant to whether you're readmitted.
Right, such as in the Kazanis case that I noted in my brief.
Why is it the AHC's determination that there was cause to discipline now the final word?
If you say it is, then I guess it is.
Well, I mean, if we dismiss the appeal, why isn't that the extant judgment?
I believe I guess it could be, Your Honor. It's just that they had appealed, they had appealed to the Western District,
right,
and then the Western District reversed and remanded, and then we applied for transfer here. So with us being the respondents, we didn't feel like we wanted to.
So your concern is the Western District opinion would be the final word.
Yes, and it's out there. The Administrative Hearing Commission has cited it at least five times.
If we dismiss the case, the Court of Appeals opinion is not out there. Well, I mean, it's a piece of paper, but it's not law.
Paper. Correct. It is not law.
Law from the minute we transferred the case.
I agree with that, Your Honor. Right. But apparently the Administrative Hearing Commission didn't believe that, because they've cited it repeatedly since January of 2013.
So let me try again. How are you harmed if we dismiss the case? How are you worse off?
As long as the Administrative Hearing Commission decision is reinstated, then we're not. As well as the Board of Nursing decision, that it be that her license be revoked. But the statute, section 335.066, specifically provides that the board can seek discipline against a licensee who has surrendered his or her license. So,
but, I mean, they haven't done that. I mean,
well,
they
we
could
did it
that.
Initially. I guess we could refile the case.
That just wouldn't be this case.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But since 335.066, the Nursing Practices Act, gives the board the ability to take action against a surrendered license, then the board felt like we still needed to move forward, even though the case is in the position.
You're saying it's not necessarily moot in your view, since you could take action against someone who's surrendered. The fact
correct.
That she's surrendered wouldn't necessarily
correct.
Render it moot.
Right. And there are two exceptions to the mootness doctrine, as you are aware. One is after argument and submission. Well, now we would have had argument. But the other one would be the public interest exception. And we would argue that the public interest exception would apply, because there are several cases out there. The licensing boards, I guess, need some direction, or the Administrative Hearing Commission does, on whether or not you need an expert in any licensing case to determine whether or not there is gross negligence, but particularly in the case of a nurse. And also to find whether or not there is a violation of a trust or confidence, because the Western District found that as well, that an expert was needed in that case, even though the Administrative Hearing Commission specifically did not.
Can you address the merits of the finding?
Yes. What I'd like to point out is that the this case is similar with this nurse. Nurse Luscombe worked in the neonatal intensive care unit at Columbia Regional Hospital, and she repeatedly suspended the cardiac alarms of an at-risk infant. And she admitted that she suspended it. So that's really not a question. But there is a, they have a bradycardia apnea monitoring management protocol. That's a lot of words. But these alarms are set, and they have this protocol that the nurses are to follow for these at-risk infants. These are infants who are born premature, who have an infection, who may have been born with defects, injured in delivery, or become sick after they are born. And the alarms can be suspended temporarily for 3 minutes, but only if the infant is stable or if the mother is breastfeeding, if the infant is given a bath. But also the alarms can be suspended when the nurse is standing right by the infant's bedside.
But the protocol doesn't say that.
The protocol does not say that.
So is that, I mean, how does that affect our decision? If you're relying solely on the protocol and it does not say the person can't leave the bedside?
Well, regardless, then, Nurse Luscombe violated the protocol, or she violated the protocol against not leaving the bed, or not leaving the bedside as well, because you're not supposed to suspend the alarms, and she repeatedly suspended them.
Yeah, but if the protocol doesn't require you to stay by the bedside, then how does leaving it violate it, is what I'm
asking. Because she suspended them repeatedly. The protocol only allowed you to, if you go strictly by the protocol, if the infant was stable or...
And so that's the part you're saying is an alternative ground that because she argues there's no evidence that the infant wasn't stable, but you're saying the fact that the alarm repeatedly went off is itself an indication that the infant's not stable.
And in addition, there was one instance where the parents had to go track her down because they could see, they were watching the monitor even though the alarm was off, and they could see that the infant was in distress.
Was the basis of taking the license her failure to meet the standard of care for a nurse in caring for an infant, or was it her failure to follow the rules and protocols of the hospital?
Well, interestingly enough, at the disciplinary hearing, which actually was quite long, most of the questions that the Board of Nursing had was actually regarding the second count in this case in the records. The fact that Nurse Luscombe did not turn in records,
the forged records.
Mm-hmm. And so they were most worried about that, it seemed like to me, in the disciplinary hearing.
But in addressing the issue of whether an expert is required, are you arguing you don't need an expert for the standard of care of a nurse, or you're arguing you don't need an expert because that wasn't the basis of taking the license? The basis of taking the license was violating the hospital protocols and the directions and directives of the hospital?
Well, what I'm saying is this case follows the several other cases that the Court of Appeals has decided, and one that this court has decided, in that an expert is not required when you have some type of evidence of the standard of care. So, for instance, the three cases I mentioned in my brief regard doctors' orders and where a nurse violated doctor's orders. One of them was a case where there was a tonsillectomy and the nurse was supposed to alternate the ice pack from side to side and failed to do it, and the patient developed Bell's palsy. Well, clearly the nurse violated the doctor's orders. The court held no expert needed. The other one was where there was a doctor's orders that the nurse was supposed to move a machine on a leg that was supposed to give it motion, and she was supposed to put one machine on at a time on each leg and not leave the patient. Well, she put both machines on and walked away from the patient, and the patient developed ankle issues. Third one was another one that came out of the Western District had to do with a doctor's orders to administer insulin. And the nurse did not administer insulin, and the patient ended up dying of a diabetic coma. So in those three cases, there were doctor's orders that were in place, and the nurse did not follow the doctor's orders. The other case that I mentioned in my brief was the Stone case, which this court decided 2 years ago, and that has to do with an individualized care plan. And in that case, the nurse, again a nurse, did not follow the individualized care plan, and she attempted to force medication down a patient in a skilled nursing facility while the patient resisted, and the care plan had in place certain protocol that they were supposed to follow. In this case, what we're saying is that the protocol that's been established by the hospital is equivalent to, it is the professional duty that the nurse is supposed to follow. So it's comparable to a doctor's orders and comparable to a written directive in an individualized care plan.
If we don't dismiss the case, what relief are you seeking? What would you like us to do?
To affirm the decision of the circuit court as well as the administrative hearing commission.
So if we issued an order, a one-word order that said affirmed, you'd be satisfied?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think what you want is an opinion that says that you don't need expert testimony.
Well, I'm sorry. That would be ideal. I can't see you issuing an order without an opinion. I'm sorry, Your Honor. Yes, we would like an opinion to clarify this issue because it has to do with gross negligence, which is an act or course of conduct that demonstrates a conscious indifference to a professional duty. And we believe that Nurse Lescombe had a duty to follow the hospital protocol, and clearly she didn't, and she admitted that she didn't. And also that you do not need an expert when there's a violation of a professional trust or confidence. And one of the other indications of the violation of the trust or confidence is that her supervisor just felt like it was too risky to put her back in the neonatal intensive care.
What if you had to violate a protocol to save a life? I mean, is there a situation? What would be the consequences of holding what you ask? If a nurse finds in a particular situation the protocol is you don't give antibiotics after X period of time, or you don't change the dressing and you can see that it's infected, or is there any exception?
Well, there would be if the nurse went to a physician and then the physician would order something different from the protocol. And that's what the difference is with the cases that Lescombe relies on in her brief, is that she relies on a couple of cases, Tendai and Dine, which are physician cases. And we're saying that the standard of care is different for physicians, and that nursing, while in the medical field, is a different practice, and that the physician, you would need an expert to determine what's proper diagnosis, procedure, medication, or the proper action to take in a place, and then the nurse goes ahead and implements the direction of the physician. So yes, a protocol could, but you would need a physician's order. And there was testimony in the case that a protocol was a series of statements that outlines the management of the infants in this unit. And part of the reason for the protocol was so the doctor didn't have to issue an order every time to say this infant needs to be put on this monitor and these alarms on the monitor should not be suspended. So I'll turn just briefly to the facts in the second count, and that has to do with the Nurse Lescombe was working for Integrity Home Care. She worked there for 2 years, and after she left Integrity, it was discovered that numerous documents were missing. And so after repeated requests from employees at Integrity, 9 months after she left Integrity, she turned in 245 total patient records for 53 nurse visits, and then a couple months later in August, she turned in 174 more of them. And so these are the extent of all of the patient records that she did not turn in. And she had several excuses for this. It had to do, if you look, there's a timeline that was put in the Administrative Hearing Commission's decision, but she had several excuses, and they centered around her divorce and an ex parte order and other things like that. What the Administrative Hearing Commission found was that they found her testimony not credible, and they found that if her contention was true, she would have had to store records at a place where she was no longer living and to which she no longer had access. So they found that her testimony was not credible. And in fact, at the disciplinary hearing, she came up with yet another excuse as to why she did not turn in the records. And the Administrative Hearing Commission did not err either in not allowing two affidavits to be admitted because they had been served on counsel with less than 8 days prior to the hearing, and I objected at the hearing, and under 536-07-012, that was proper. So in conclusion, an expert is not required when a nurse fails to follow a doctor's orders, as in the case of a cold pack, a machine to manually move legs, the administration of insulin. And an expert is also not required when a nurse fails to follow a patient care plan and forces medication down a resistant patient's throat. Similarly, an expert is not required when a nurse fails to follow hospital patient care protocol and repeatedly suspends the cardiac alarms of an at-risk infant in the neonatal intensive care unit. The facts presented here were sufficient to allow inexperienced persons, as well as an inexperienced law judge, to draw a fair and intelligent conclusion that Luscombe engaged in a course of conduct that demonstrated conscious indifference to a professional duty. And the Stone case referenced earlier also leaves the decision of whether an expert is required up to the trier of fact. And Judge Wynn, Commissioner Wynn, specifically found that she did not believe that she needed an expert to determine gross negligence. She also forged nurse visit records and turned in hundreds of records late when she was working for the home health care agency. And there's competent and substantial evidence to support the decision. Regarding the surrender, it does not deprive the board of its ability to act. Through that authority, the board fulfills its assignment not to punish the licensee but to protect the public. The court should deny the motion to dismiss because discipline is still possible and appropriate. We ask that the decision of the Administrative Hearing Commission and the Circuit Court be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Council.